from KQED.
Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Lily Jamali. We begin in Oakland, where opening statements have wrapped up in the trial of two men. Each is charged with 36 counts of involuntary manslaughter in a deadly 2016 fire in a warehouse known as the Ghost Ship. KQED's Don Clyde reports.
People attending the trial sobbed and passed tissues amongst themselves as the prosecution displayed images of the 36 victims, played frantic 911 calls, and read last texts sent to loved ones. Prosecutors said the defendants, Master Tenant Derek Almena and Tenant Max Harris, illegally converted the warehouse into a residential art space, and those inside didn't have enough notice, time, or exits to escape. Alameda County Prosecutor Casey Bates said the building was stuffed from floor to ceiling with flammable materials. But the defense said evidence will prove arson was the cause of the blaze that broke out during an electronic music party. Defense attorney Tony Serra, who represents Almena, said his client had installed safety measures and wanted to create a clean and beautiful space.
He is a skilled, consummate artist, and that he created Ghost Ship as outreach forum to the community.
Investigators never determined the cause of the fire. Testimony is scheduled to begin next Monday. For the California Report, I'm Don Clyde.
A new report just out on the police shooting of unarmed African-American man Oscar Grant sheds new light on the incident a decade later. The report was released as part of California's new state transparency law, and it shows significant misconduct from the officer who first arrived at the Oakland BART station where the shooting happened. That includes using racial slurs and violence. And KQED's criminal justice reporter Alex Emsley says it also casts doubt on the defense offered by Johannes Messerly, the transit officer who was convicted of involuntary manslaughter.
His defense was that he meant to pull his taser and didn't realize he had his gun in his hand until after the shot was fired. But this internal affairs investigation that we've never seen until now, the investigators reference Messerly looking down at his holster several times as he's trying to get his gun out. And on the final occasion, the report says, he can be seen looking back at his hand on the gun holster and watching the gun come out. That was just a few seconds before he fired a single round into Grant's back that ultimately killed him.
Grant's death in 2009 was one of the first to be caught on cell phone cameras and caused international outcry about police use of deadly force and calls for accountability. Since then, BART has created an independent police auditor position and a citizens' police review board. Well, in San Diego, the main gas and electric utility there is asking the U.S. Supreme Court to weigh in on whether it should be able to pass on to customers the costs of a 2007 wildfire. That push to charge ratepayers almost $400 million was denied by the California Supreme Court and the state regulator that oversees utilities, the CPUC. SDG&E argues that's a violation of its constitutional rights. Here in Northern California, Pacific Gas and Electric has a new CEO starting today. Bill Johnson comes from the Tennessee Valley Authority. His critics say his record on safety and clean energy was less than stellar there, but all agree this is one of the toughest jobs out there right now. PG&E is in bankruptcy protection after being blamed and investigated for causing a series of recent wildfires. Joining me are KQED political correspondent Marisa Lagos and data reporter Lisa Pickoff-White. Welcome to you both.
Thanks.
Good morning.
Marisa, let's start with you. You have spent a lot of time with Governor Newsom lately, and he, on the face of things, has been pretty critical of PG&E. What's your sense of how the state legislature, which also wields some power here, has reacted to the way that Governor Newsom has handled PG&E in recent weeks?
You know, I think that, to your point, there is a sort of different posture in Sacramento around these utilities. We saw this developing last year around PG&E and a lot of anger from lawmakers, and I think Newsom has carried that out. I would venture to guess that he feels a little sort of personally betrayed because they are from his hometown where he was mayor. He did work closely with a lot of the now former executives at PG&E. He came out with this much anticipated report a couple weeks ago that was supposed to lay out what the state needed to do to get its arms around the wildfire crisis. And I think that what he did instead was sort of say, here are some potential avenues that we could explore. And I get why he did that. I think Jerry Brown got a lot of pushback last year when he tried to come out and tell lawmakers what to change legislatively. But I think from lawmakers' perspective, I'm hearing a lot of frustration that they're not being given a sort of clear set of priorities from the governor's office in terms of these really tough legal questions around liability and who pays for things.
Well, Bill Johnson, who's coming in now today as the CEO, has quite a task ahead of him. I've heard it said that, you know, there's frankly not a lot of people out there who want this job. And Lisa Pickoff-White, I want to ask you about, because of your experience covering the CPUC, which is the state utility regulator, who really has the power now?
Well, actually, who has the most power right now is the probation judge, Judge Alsup, because really he could order almost anything. You know, there's been a lot of debate over the last several months about whether he's going to order PG&E to inspect every single line, look at every single tree clearance in Northern California in their territory. And, you know, even when I talk to staff at the CPUC, they say they're watching these probation hearings very closely, actually.
And this is a judge based here in San Francisco who is overseeing the probation case related to the 2010 San Bruno explosion, which PG&E was found responsible for.
Exactly. And there's some questions right now about, you know, whether PG&E has been criminally negligent in other areas. And that's what that judge is looking at in a large part of that investigation that he's doing and a court monitor are doing is looking at, you know, have they been following state law?
All right. KQED reporter Lisa Pickoff-White and political correspondent Marisa Lagos, thanks to both of you.
My pleasure.
Support for the California Report comes from Personal Capital, offering wealth management and online financial tools to help customers manage their money with transparency and control. More information at personalcapital.com. Energy Upgrade California, urging Californians to keep it golden through simple acts like adjusting the thermostat a few degrees. EnergyUpgradeCalifornia.org. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems.
And that is the California Report for this Thursday, May 2nd, a production of KQED Public Radio. Happy belated birthday, Danny Bringer, one of our fearless engineers here at the California Report. Danny, you rock. I'm Lily Jamali. Have a great one.